So, guess what I have this week, Tanya?
Oh, a quarter
I
jar.
have a quarter jar! Hi, I'm Derek Mast.
And I'm Tanya Mast.
We've got two kids, Rainey.
And Emerson.
And we're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up.
This is the journey of two young homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
So, Tanya, you soft, decadent avocado, how are you this week?
That one gives me the hibbly jibbly.
Yeah, that one's that one's a little creepy. I wasn't going for creepy. I was going for, I don't know, descriptive of an avocado. And anyway, no one wants to hear about that.
I got like 8 avocados today, so. Or like 9.
Whoa, were they really on sale?
Yes.
Delightful.
Happy day for us.
So tell me, Tanya, what have you learned recently?
Well, when we went on vacation, our garden cranked out a million zucchini. So I've been finding a million zucchini recipes. Zucchini pizza crust, zucchini like puffs, like potato puff. What are those
oh,
things
oh,
called?
Like tater tots.
Yeah.
Zucchini tater
zucchini
tots.
Zucchini tater tots.
Ooh, that would be really good.
Zucchini meatballs.
Those are really good.
Cookies. Zucchini. We made those too. Mm-hmm. Zucchini pizza. Zoodles, if you have a zoodle maker. And I'm going to make zoodles with a pesto on them, but I'm going to add avocado too into the pesto to make it really creamy to coat the zoodles. So that's what made me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You need to describe these zucchinis because I don't know if I've seen such large zucchinis.
Yeah, they
before.
Are larger than our baby, yeah. Which is saying a lot.
Just about the length of your arm, probably. They're just enormous.
Yeah. What are you saying about my
arm? I'm not saying anything about your arm. I'm saying like for a zucchini.
Know. Second sentence, enormous.
No, I'm just saying for a zucchini, it's large. For your arm, it's the right size, but...
That drink looks hella classy in your hand.
It really does. You made a very amazing drink for us. Would you call this a spritzer? It's a virgin spritzer? There's like some juices in here and like some raspberries and lemon...
Frozen raspberries.
Frozen raspberries.
From our garden.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, so delightful.
What did you learn this week, Derek? I have something else too, but
okay,
how
I'm
many things do you have? 7? 10? 20?
I have 4, but none of them are terribly good.
Well,
I'll go with
the jar awaits. A hungry mouth waiting to maul your pocket change.
I only have like we only have so many quarters in the house, so I would spend far more quarters on useless stuff in the podcast, but I don't have enough quarters for that, so I'm going to be very conservative.
You're
going
to have to
week.
Be the one who goes to Aldi, and you're going to try to have to lurk behind someone until they offer you their cart, and
uh-huh.
then normally they won't take your quarter, or if you're sly, then you can just like, not that I've done this. Just today, somebody offered me
Grand
their cart.
Grand theft grocery cart.
Somebody offered me their cart for free,
uh-huh.
and then somebody offered to pay me for it before I took it in. If you don't have an Aldi close to you, you'll have no idea what we're talking about. But mm-hmm. anyways,
it's and like you put a quarter in the cart in order to unhook it from the chain of carts.
And then you get the quarter back
right.
when you hook it in again.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, boy, I could, if I was really purposeful about this, I could collect quarters and buy myself like a plant. And then every time that I looked at that plant, I would feel like a horrible human.
That's amazing.
This was like my car thoughts.
There
and then when you're driving, I look at you over at you and ask you what you're thinking about, and you're normally like, nothing. So now you know what I'm thinking about. Guilt plants.
This has made me very happy.
And if you run out of quarters, you're going to have to... become that person at Aldi. You're already in there barefoot, so they don't like you anyways.
Nobody comments about my bare feet. There was one time someone commented about it, but
I don't think she works there anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
maybe you scared her off.
Well, you know what? If they don't appreciate the barefootedness in this world, then good riddance.
Some people were really grossed out by the airport picture. Lois was one of them, and some other people I think who just like held their tongues. They're like, that's gross. You could not pay me to go barefoot through an airport because diseases and stuff, which is a very valid point.
Yes, but you have skin in between you and the inner bits, which get the disease portions of things.
Yeah, but skin is not phosphorus. What is the word?
Phosphorus.
I'm so tired. It's porific.
It's porous.
Porous. That's what I want.
Skin isn't as porous as you think it is. Well, I mean, if you're talking like chemicals.
Don't keep that phosphorus bit in there because people are like, these people are going to homeschool. I can't find my words tonight.
That's fine.
I say this every time.
But I'm going to talk a lot tonight, so it's all good.
This is for you.
Thank you. So one thing I've learned recently is that Sprite and a tank sprayer is a fantastic solution for walking around on metal roofs. So, sometimes, as a solar installer, well, many times, one must walk around on a metal roof. And metal roofs are often kind of slickery, even if...
I've never heard that combination before.
Slickery?
Yeah.
Yeah, my old foreman used to say that, but back at my old job, and it cracked me up every single time. So I've picked it up. So anyway, metal roofs can be slickery even if they're at a low pitch, especially if they're new roofs, which people often put on a new roof right before we put on panels. So anyway, but we got to walk around on this thing. But we discovered that if you use Sprite and you spray it around on the roof, get the roof a little bit sticky, you can walk up and down that sucker no problem.
Oh, so this was done purposefully. It wasn't an accident.
No, it was not an accident. I don't remember who in the company discovered that this was a thing, but it is. We just had a roof that we needed to do that on today, and we got one of those like weed killer containers that spray, you know, spray mm-hmm. weed killer. We just put some Sprite in there, spray some Sprite all over the roof.
And then all the customers are complaining, oh, hey, my roof has an inch thick residue on it.
Well, no, the beautiful part of it is that it just washes off in the rain. Yeah. So you can do this with Coke, too, but then you start seeing the Coke run off when the rain comes.
Well, yeah, plus Coke, like, will eat away at things if there's enough.
Not on a metal roof.
Coke will eat rust.
Well, hopefully our roofs aren't rusty. But anyway, we haven't, usually it rains fast enough that there aren't issues. So, yeah, if you ever need to walk around on a slippery surface, just try spraying some Sprite on that thing, and then you can walk around on it. Admittedly, it has a very narrow application, but...
Yeah, well, interesting.
What else have you learned?
Well, I was thinking about my main thought process the last few weeks, which would a good segue into that would be you sharing about the pictures in the wedding venue in the men's bathroom. Do you still have those on your phone?
Yes, I do.
So Derek walked into the men's bathroom and discovered.
Yeah, so this was at the wedding venue recently that we were just at. And
a week ago or so.
Yeah, let me see here. So men's restroom, there are all these signs. One of them says, top 10 reasons why men prefer guns over women. And it goes down through all these like, you know, puns that are kind of misogynistic and terrible. Like, you can trade in an old 44 for a new 22. Like,
I didn't actually read that list.
A gun doesn't mind if you go to sleep after you use it.
Oh my goodness.
You can buy a silencer for a gun. And all of them are just terrible like that.
And in the women's restroom, there was scripture.
Wait, there's more signs.
I know.
Oh yeah,
I'm
sorry,
just saying. In the women's restroom, there was just scripture on the walls.
Right. Because women can't make fun of men, only the other way around.
That's not my point.
Right, no.
You want to read the rest of the signs.
Yeah, yeah. One sign says, I only do what the voices in my wife's head tell her to tell me to do. Another one, if a man is alone in the forest with no women to hear him, is he still wrong?
So anyway.
How did that make you feel, Tanya, once you discovered this?
Oh, I try to believe the best in people, and I try to believe that there are not people in the world who really find humor in these things, but there are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really probably great people that think this is funny, all in jest, and don't actually believe it. But I guess my thought process has been that in the same way that there are marriage posts like that all over the place, there are posts about kids and parenting that are very derogatory about kids. I mean, like, kids will suck the life out of you. Kids just want to keep you up all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things. And I think that it's good to look at the humorous side of parenting, but
yeah,
I feel like if I embrace that type of stuff too much, like, it gets in your head. Just like the whole, if your baby sleeps, then your baby is a good baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of mindset plays.
It's such a cynical look at whatever the topic is. Like, you can have cynical humor and have it be funny, but when relating to people that can sink into your mindset, like, that just doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
Yeah. Well, and yes, it's all a joke. Like, I probably sound like such a killjoy, and everyone's like, shh, let them enjoy things.
You have no humor, Tanya.
But I guess, you know, when your kid wakes up as soon as you're about to sit down and do something, or like things like that that tend to happen in life, it's easy to resent your children when you expect that they're just using you. But they're just children, and you are their resource in life, and you are their sense of calm, and their like guiding force at this, especially for us right now with a baby and a toddler. They are not trying to drive you crazy most of the time.
Well, and the other thing, I'm going to get off on a tangent here, but it's not quarter worthy, I promise. But like, your reactions are so key to how your child sees you at this point in time. Like, a child will be able to see if you are instantly unhappy with them. Like,
and it also impacts how they see themselves.
Exactly.
Am I just a nuisance? Like,
right, exactly.
Am I just sucking the life out of you?
Right. When, no, they're still learning. They're still growing. They're still figuring things out.
I had a moment this week where I explained to Rainey that what she was doing, because she was making some unkind choices. She was exhausted. But she was making some very unkind choices. And I told her like that made my heart sad. She burst into tears because I understand that was not at all what she was trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And it just broke her little heart the rest of the way to know that that was the case. And I felt really bad. But I also feel like it was the appropriate thing to point out in the moment because she had very large emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, all that to say, I'm trying to be really purposeful in the language that I use around parenting and just my jokes and stuff. And yeah, you'll still catch me joking about parenting, but trying to think about if I'm being derogatory about it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the mom who's like, yep, I'm just here day drinking to get by parenting these little monsters that suck the life out of me. Or like that lady who called her child her little hemorrhoid.
Oh my goodness. Well, and when most of your humor is lighthearted and generous, then you can take a really funny cynical joke and make it even funnier because you do not normally use that type of humor and everybody knows your intent. Like, it makes the cynical joke more valuable when people know what your actual view is.
Yeah, but I'm saying that those types of jokes, I think, can seep into your thinking without you realizing
right.
it,
is
my point.
Too.
So.
Yep. Good point. I appreciate that about you. None of my other ones are interesting. So we'll go into follow-up. Follow-up. So we got some feedback about some previous shows at a unnamed location, which is not technically, sanctioned, but, if you find it, you can definitely talk to us there. I'll let you figure it out. So we got a comment from Keenan, listener Keenan, who responded to my comments about drinking a lot of water back with the heat rash and everything. He said he's learned from personal experience that if you do drink 50% of your body weight in ounces every single day, after a few weeks, you start having to use the restroom less. I made a comment about now I have to use the bathroom all the time because I'm drinking a lot more water. And yes, I've heard this is the case, but it's also really hard as a construction worker to have access to a bathroom all the time.
Yeah, earlier this week, Derek was texting me about, should I pee in the bushes? I don't know if there is residents are home right now. What should I do?
Yeah,
I guess that's your daily struggle. I don't see an improvement with how much I drink water because my bladder is the size of a quarter.
Yeah.
And apparently will just be that because having two children close together plays funny tricks on your body.
Your poor body.
It was worth it.
From listener Craig, we have a question about, is there any place for yelling to assert righteous anger and authority if or when a child becomes disrespectful of authority and perhaps even raises their voice in response to your raised voice as a parent? Granted, there is a threshold where things can dissolve into a screaming match, which is entirely unhelpful, but the idea of a completely peaceful parent actually having success with that method past the age of 3 or 4 seems somewhat unlikely. So is there any place for yelling to assert that righteous anger and authority? Obviously, I don't have any knowledge with kids past 3 or 4, so we'll just, I'm just going to ignore it. I will say,
you know all the things.
I will say I know there are parents who use this method successfully past the age of 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible. I don't know what that looks like, but...
And we are planning on having some of them on the show, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. We
if
are
you're
gonna
like,
try
these
to...
youngins are driving me crazy.
Yeah, we do want to do some interviews with people who actually know what they're talking about. And
ask some common questions for older generations across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as the yelling to assert righteous anger and authority, my response is that rarely am I good at knowing if my anger is actually righteous in the moment. I think most of the time when we think our anger is righteous in the moment, we may be able to portray a righteous anger, but internally, our anger is not righteous. We're actually angry for a very different reason. I've seen that in myself. So responding in any sort of anger, I think, is a very... very tricky as a human being. So that's my thought.
Yeah. So I said too that I consider myself normally a fairly controlled person, but my sense of justice is often twisted. And if it doesn't feel biblical to normally raise my voice or slap or whatever, then does their further sin change something to make it okay for me to respond in that way? I think also we're teaching by modeling. So it's especially important, like the way that we interact with them. And if we need to yell for them to hear us, then there's probably some sort of broken communication happening, that they're not at a place to hear us. And honestly, I said also saying something louder doesn't tend to make you better heard. It just deafens or scares the other party. Plus, hopefully they know our hearts enough to know when we're really serious that we don't need to yell.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
yeah,
our 2 cents, add in yours.
Indeed. And our last piece of follow-up, which was in-person follow-up. So our dear friends Ben and Mo had a concern when they heard that... I think it was probably episode 1. When you were talking about the garden, and somehow we mentioned that there was poop in the garden or something, or that we had poop in the garden or whatever, they were wondering from whence does this poop come? What is the origin of said poop? It is composted manure. It is nothing terribly interesting.
They were like, that's a good way to use your potty training remnants.
Yeah.
And y'all, we are barefoot hippies, but we are not that hippie.
That's true. It doesn't surprise me that someone might have concerns, potential concerns that might be a thing. But no, that's way too much work. So just composted manure. We just call it poop because it's funny. So if you have stuff that you want to talk to us about, you can hit us up on Instagram or Twitter by direct message or with the hashtag AskSTL. And we can respond to your questions and feedback on the show.
Also, thank you guys all for the feedback.
Yeah.
We've had really kind encouragement. And yeah, you guys don't need to listen to us, but it's sweet that you do. And you have really good feedback. And yeah, we're just two people talking about things.
Yeah. Okay, so main topic time.
Sure.
I'm a little nervous because... I'm going to be talking about my faults the last couple of months. Actually, this is a fault that has come up before, but maybe not. We haven't addressed it in quite such a direct way. But a couple weeks ago, Tanya let me know that it felt like I had drifted away from her the past month or so and was wondering if I was okay or if I needed anything or whatever, which forced me to confront... this recent behavior, which was the behavior was basically being increasingly obsessive over things that weren't in front of me and generally not being present for my family and, you know, day to day stuff. Is that bad accurate? Is that how you would describe it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep checking with you to make sure I'm describing things right, because
I mean, this is all you. You were the one who wanted to talk about this, and I'm humbled that you're having the conversation.
So. Well, the reason I want to talk about it is because I want us to be free to talk about how we fail as parents and spouses and things. You know, be willing to set ourselves out as not perfect people and still learning and all that stuff. Because we Absolutely. Are, it's all about learning. Anyway, so what happened? Basically, it would be, I started becoming drawn into myself and like kind of my default being browsing Twitter or listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos. Basically,
we had a really relaxing weekend for your birthday.
Yes.
And we had lots of time to play video games together and stuff. And then... Mm-hmm. It was really hard to disengage from that entertainment and relaxation for you.
Yeah, and it was a couple of different factors too, because right around that time, started this podcast, had that nice long weekend that you super blessed me with, which I was so happy about. You gave me like free rein on my free time, or you gave me like so much free time over the weekend to do whatever I wanted to, which was amazing. But I didn't successfully disengage from that. Plus, the next, like the week going into June was WWDC week, which for any Apple lovers out there might know that that's kind of the state of the union, kind of the beginning of the year of announcements for Apple. And I am super into Apple, and every time that WWDC rolls around, I go full obsessive into Apple because they always announce so many interesting things. So that was a factor. I feel like there was one more, but that would have been that stuff. So,
and you discovered new games.
New games, yeah. Yeah, so I got really sucked into Banjo-Kazooie, which is a great game. Love that game. I know it's really old, but we got Rare Replay for Xbox, and so I've been playing that, and Rainey's been enjoying that. But anyway, so the problem was that I was doing all of these things way too much, trying to listen to podcasts any second of the day when I was at home that I had the opportunity instead of being, generally available to be active with my family and with Tanya, and not pursuing my family. So anyway, that alienated you so that didn't make you feel good, and obviously I wasn't paying as much attention to our kids. So
I was pretty tired from having more on my plate, because I think you had been out of town some, and then there was more on my plate so that you were free for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just couldn't quite catch my breath.
Right. Yeah. And we never, like, usually when we're busy, we find a time to connect.
Soul connect.
Yeah. To connect and really, like, kind of reset ourselves and be like, okay, now we're going back in as a team again. So this kind of stuff has happened before. I don't think I've really described what it actually is. I would say it's an addiction of sorts, but it's very broad. I go through these cycles. I've found a new term for it: stimulation cycles, where I crave any sort of like stimulation, usually entertainment or like anything that's interesting to my brain, like in terms of Apple, you know, finding all of the new things in the new iOS, that sort of thing. But it's an unhealthy sort of addiction to stimulation in general, which I might say could be enhanced by my ADHD, so that might be a factor here. But usually what happens is I do this for like a month and a half, and then I'm like, ugh, this is way too tiring to keep up with. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I stop, because it's just too tiring to try to keep up with that constant cycle of stimulation. And so I'm sure you've noticed and maybe talked to me about this before, but I feel like we haven't addressed it as directly as we just did like the past month. Because when I was single, when I didn't have anybody to, take care of and bond with, it wasn't as big of an issue because it was just me. And then I would burn out on my own, and then it'd be good and go back into life. But that doesn't work so well when you have a wife and kids. So anyway, I have a note here. So it has happened before, but we just addressed it this time. I have a note here, a question saying, is this sin? Just to make sure that I mention this. Yes, it is sin. I would consider this idolatry. This is not a good thing that I did. And a verse I would bring up would be Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I would say this is a form of covetousness, where I'm trying to pursue something that I cannot get, a chasing after the wind. Yes, this is sin, and I needed to repent of it. Any additional comments on how this made you feel or what you were observing through this process?
Well, when I originally thought that it was something that we had to have a conversation about, because I felt even like when you were hanging out with the kids, your head was in your phone, and you were just missing a lot of moments and missing conversations happening directed at you. And it took like serious sit down conversation and then like two more cycles of it, mm-hmm. of addicted and being out of things for us to finally have a breakthrough on all of that. I feel like, I mean, you had little breakthroughs the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, whenever you have, this is a very small bump in the road in mm-hmm. marriage. But whenever you have something that you're discussing together and you're not seeing an immediate change or an immediate agreement, then you're like, oh no, is this going to be a bigger deal? Especially when mm-hmm. you're surrounded by marriages that are falling apart, which is incredibly humbling. We should keep our eyes wide open in marriage. So, I mean, I was talking to my mentor and I was like, this is conversations that Derek and I have been having. This is what I would like to see be different. You know, what should I be doing? Should I be holding him to a higher standard? Should I be coming down harder on him because I want to be his helpmate and mm-hmm. encourage him to grow, but I don't want to be the whining wife. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, just take a breath for a moment. You're setting goals for yourself and growing and moving forward. And it's not fair to expect the same growth cycle from him as what you're setting for yourself. Not to say that I'm a better person. Like, there's growth mm-hmm. happening in different ways.
Yeah.
And also, like, just that there's times to just pray and, like, trust the Lord in that. I really appreciate my mentor. She's wise.
That is really
shout out
wise.
To her. She said she just started listening to the podcast. So if you're listening, Joyce, I appreciate you. You're so wise.
Yes.
Get yourself a mentor. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So as far as steps towards overcoming this, this was something you pushed for, and I'm grateful for that you wanted me to have some sort of, you know, forward step. So I committed to being in the Bible somehow, some way, every single day, whether that be audio or it could be visual, it could be reading, but making sure I have some semblance of in the Bible, which is good. And I will say that I've definitely failed at that since I made that commitment, but I am committed to it going forward. Just pick up and keep going.
Don't not set goals just right. because you're worried about failing at them.
Mm-hmm.
At least you have a direction that you're headed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that at you. I know that you know that. I'm just saying that's something that I've really become aware of this year for myself.
Yeah. And that would be an interesting conversation altogether differently. Maybe we'll do that for a New Year's show sometime, if you know. Because that's a whole interesting topic I have thoughts about. The other one is to just keep reminding myself to be present, to be in the moment where I'm at. That doesn't mean I can't be on my phone sometimes, doesn't mean I can't be listening to podcasts, but to recognize that I need to consider when I'm doing that should I be in the moment instead? It's a better idea maybe to be in the moment.
Plus you said you just need to communicate about when you need a clear block of time to disengage,
mm-hmm.
rejuvenate yourself, or just like have a moment, have some space, and then come back and be fully present,
mm-hmm.
which was a big breakthrough we had on in our travels.
Yeah.
A long midnight conversation with many tears, with both of us crying at the end, which is not normal at all.
Yeah.
But
those are always the best conversations.
Yeah.
And I actually forgot about that. That's a good reminder. So thank you for bringing that up again.
And now we've had like numerous nights in a row where we are supposed to be sleeping and then we stay up instead talking for an hour and
mm-hmm.
having deep, deep connecting conversations.
That's great. So
you do not sound thrilled.
Oh no, it's great. It's great.
I know that you're serious, but you're like, it's great.
It's great. yeah. So that's about all I had for that. Is there anything else I should cover on that?
No, I just appreciate you and your humility, since we're both sinners and we both make mistakes, mm-hmm. but you're being very upfront about yours, and I just like growing with you and being encouraged by you.
Thank you. I love you so much. Well, thank you, Tanya, again for doing a show with me this week.
Thank you for being you. We can end every episode kissing.
Oh, we could totally end every episode kissing.
Thank you for being you. Jazz hands.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram or Twitter at SetToLearn. And our website is SetToLearn.com. Keep learning, and we'll see you next time.
I was thinking about some things today to say, and there was a lot of F-bombs that I was like, I should say that. But then I was like, can Derek just like put your voice over it saying but over my words or just bleep it out? Like, but yeah,
but-um.
I figured.
But-um.
None of this should go in. That's amazing. None of this should go in.
There's so many good after credit sequences and we haven't even started the show yet.
No. I think you're tired and everything seems good to you.
No. I am a genius of radio.